Tuesday, January 3rd, I woke early. We breakfasted around the kitchen table, Mr. Kruger, Mr. Hubbard, and I, and then went over to the Hightower property to keep in front of the bulldozers, marking trees, giving directions, reassessing the drive-offs and the picnic areas. What a change in tempo when Lyndon leaves. In activity, in drive, in number of people involved, he injects adrenaline, revs up the tempo of any activity he's in. It is quiet without him. After an hour with the bulldozers, I took Mr. Hubbard, leaving Mr. Kruger still working, and we went to the birthplace and met Roy White and continued on to the old fort site and the boyhood home, explaining how all of these would fit into some eventual total picture. And drove by the little Time Life Park and the bank building. I take such a proprietary feeling in Johnson City now. Once you work on anything, give it your time and enthusiasm, it blooms to you. You notice every change, know how hard it was, appreciate every improvement, and are delighted when other people do, and disappointed when they just look at it and drive on and say, mm-hmm. We were back at the Hightower property a little before one. Mr. Loden, the statesman in charge of planning, had left. Mr. Kruger had returned to the main house. So we two went back for lunch, and then I spent the afternoon with Roy. First, we walked over the outline of Mr. Klein's new shop with him, discussed fences and screening, and tried to visualize it, both from the little road that runs in front of our house and from Ranch Road 1. And then we laid out the plans for the extension of the two bedrooms and went over the inch by inch to tailor it to the habits and needs and peculiarities of its two inhabitants. Lots of light in Lyndon's bathroom, an extra large shower, and walls that will be a good foil for paintings in both his sitting room and his bedroom. We walked through it in our minds and placed the furniture, changing and correcting as we went. There's never the right place for that three-face TV. How wonderfully satisfying it is to have an architect that you like and laugh with and can depend on. Roy White is one of the blessings of my life, and a tape measure is a tool I cannot do without. Our present rooms, both here and in the White House, and our storage space, we measured in comparison to what we plan for this new area. Watching the trauma of the Morsons in changing their house has been no invitation to start this project, but sometime it must be done. It adds up to 90 days that we spent at the ranch in 1966, and our bedroom suites are sheer makeshift. If we can live better, we should. There were all the last-minute things, the call to Betty Weinheimer, to give away the poinsettias and chrysanthemums, and finally, a little past five, we were airborne in the Jet Star, headed for Washington. Many hours I've ridden in planes this year, and it's a good time for reading, and for the work that I carry along in my Mexican straw bag. Right now, I'm reading Robert Penn Warren's All the King's Men. Except Christmas night, I curled up with Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol and a glass of wine from my German neighbor and had a delightful time. I've read children's versions, heard excerpts, seen it on TV, and never have read the real book itself. I found it pure gold. We wound up all our talking about the park. Mr. Hubbard gave me a good idea about tapes that could be installed either in a future administration building or just beside a fence or marker of some kind where you could put earphones up and hear a minute and a half about the history of the wildlife or the flowers of the area. Close to 9 Washington time, we arrived at Andrews and I said goodbye and drove into the White House. The light was on in Lyndon's office. I put down my coat and went over to find him in his small room, deep in conversation with Charles Schultz, with whom he spent far more hours than he has with me during the month of December. December is a marriage with the budget. And Joe Califano, Charlie Schultz, looking very intently at Lyndon, said, "You will go down in history as the man who kept this nation together, fighting a limited war." They were talking about the difficulty of doing that. The temperament of our people seems to be, we must get excited, get passionate, fight it, get it over with, or we must pull out. It is unbearably hard to fight a limited war. So fascinating in that little office. I love to listen, and yet I know how hungry the others must be. As 10:30 rolls around, I make tentative efforts to get them all to come home to dinner. Finally, close to 11, Brendan and Joe Califano come. And afterwards, there's the great stack of night work on the bed. And the life at the ranch is a thing of the past. And we are back in the Washington routine.